It has been said if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there. Career choices require thoughtful planning and precise execution. Career Advisor Services was designed by leading retained search professionals. They provide a customized, tactical approach for executive career transition. Visit careeradvisorservices.com or call 800-710-7761.
Join Bill Coleman and Kelly Persichetti of Career Advisor Services on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, right here on 104.1 The Truth.
Well, welcome back to Circles of Change here in Tucson, Arizona. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, this portion of my segments, I welcome my colleagues from Career Advisor Services. And, in fact, we have a new member of their team, Ward Hill. Ward, welcome to the line.
Thank you, Zara.
Great. Well, Ward, I know you've got a very fascinating background, predominantly in the financial services area, but you're also now Professor Hill. And I think it'd be interesting for our listeners to appreciate where you come from a personal standpoint, and then how that fits into the type of work that Career Advisor Services embarks upon. So where might you like to begin?
Well, I'd have to say that, you know, as odd as it seems that they may be disconnected is exactly how well those two things are connected.
Nice.
And by that, what I really mean is throughout my career as a manager, leader of a group, in a large group of people, one of the things I having made all my mistakes, or a lot of them, in my first job in that role, I learned very quickly that one of the things to help be successful was to develop the staff that I had working with me, and sincerely develop them, not just talk about it, but be active and aggressive about doing that. So in that approach, as someone running some smaller and then more significant operations, that kind of became the hallmark for me of the way I approached leadership and the way I approached executing strategic plans or tactical plans or anything that was going on.
In fact, you know, you and I, of course, have a very common precept along that line, because I was raised the same way. As much as I was every bit the engineering and manufacturing executive, many times my colleagues would say, you know, you sound like you're a human resources person wearing a different set of clothes. And I'd always come back and say, well, you know, shame on anyone else. That's exactly what we should be as leaders, is putting the people element first. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would. That's absolutely true. You have to, if you're in a leadership or a management role, the only way to get things accomplished is with people, and they have to be, you know, capable.
That's
of,
right.
Of accomplishing those things that need to be done.
Ward, to help our listeners understand your specific background, you spent a significant part of your career in the banking business, and perhaps you could share the progression of things and how you found yourself then shifting in the process of being in that space.
Okay. Well, very quickly, right out of undergraduate and moving into then graduate school, which I happened to complete my graduate degree part-time, I found myself first going through a training program, starting at the lowest levels of banking, not in the mail room, but as a teller, and then a head teller, and then going through a training program, and found myself in a position where I couldn't move to the wholesale side of banking. I had to stay in retail with that particular employer, didn't want to be in retail, and made a career transition or a job change to another financial institution at the time, and went through another training program in the credit area, and moved down to what we'd call the lending floor, and began working with commercial clients for the most part, small companies and even large companies. And I happened to work at that time for I think it was probably a number four bank in a six bank market, and got an opportunity very rapidly to develop larger and more sophisticated portfolios. And within about a year and a half of coming out of the training program, so at about 24, I had my first management job, and people working for me. And, of course, started making my first mistakes as a manager, no matter how well, you know, you're trained, no matter how well you think. When you have people who might be older than you, working for you and been around a little bit more, there are some real challenges that that come with that. And so, you know, I probably made a few mistakes about how I treated people, what my expectations were, and then quickly adapted to a point where, you know, I needed to work with them instead of thinking that they were working for me.
Exactly. In fact, we often talk on this show, the individual course that follows you is Jen Cashel from Your Success Network, and the dynamic that gets peppered into the seasons where we are now, in addition to just that maturing that you'd go through as a young leader, though, is the fact that now we have four generations in the workplace.
Right.
So even you and I could today share our lessons learned with our listeners, but you know, some of it really is obsolete because the dynamic, the playing field is even broader than it was back then.
Well, it is. There are a lot more inputs, let's say, mm-hmm. that come into everything you do, and there are probably a lot more interdependencies that that take place now than you know 20 years ago, without question. But the fundamental about how you treat people and how you work with people in a staff or execution standpoint, maybe the communications channel has changed, but I don't know that the tenor has changed. Mm-hmm. And you know, the interesting thing is that I progressed through a variety of things in financial services. Most importantly for me, one of the things that I look at when I look back on my career was that I happened to be one of those people that got the interesting assignments, meaning that it seemed like throughout my career, I kept getting things that were broken, or things that people didn't know what to do with one way or another.
And what I would say is, and is some people who study the law of attraction, is it wasn't just because they came your way, but actually you were doing things that attracted them your way. And my guess is if someone asked you to step in and lead something that just to an incremental different place, you'd probably yawn and say, I think I better pass. I'll go for the one that nobody else wants.
Yeah, that's
we're pathologically wired in the same way on that regard, Ward. No question about it.
I don't think there's any question about that. And that's one of the interesting things I'd say about making a transition. I would define myself as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And meaning that I came from a family of entrepreneurs. I came from a family of small business owners. My dad was a commission salesman. There was a lot of conversation around, the supper table when I was growing up about taking risk, doing things differently, how to achieve certain goals. And I had another influence in my life that happened to be in finance. He was in venture capital and was my uncle. And so I had, to some extent, an attraction to finance and financial services because of that. And, you know, banking at the time I joined it was a pretty staid, old conservative way of doing things. And it just so happens that I ended up getting with an institution that needed to be a little more aggressive and do things differently very early in my career than what a lot of folks did.
Well, and then you look at what's played out over these 25, 30 years that you've been associated with that industry, and it's nothing like what it looked like even back then.
Right. That's absolutely correct. A lot of changes, a lot of consolidation, a lot of things that people really didn't know what mm-hmm. to do with or how to fit them into regulatory requirements or operations that were there, and that created, you know, a lot of opportunities for me. So when I look back on it, and that may be the difference, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that I looked at things as, gee, I have a challenge, because I did. I usually looked at things as an opportunity. What can I do with this? What's different about it? Where can I excel? Where do my strengths match up well with the opportunity that was at hand?
And I think the nature of your work, of course, I don't want to jump too small, fall out of sequence, but the idea of career advisor services is to help people invoke those kind of conversations, even in their own head, to look for things that are possible as opposed to feel like they're stuck.
Right. Absolutely correct. And you may be amazed sometimes at how something so small that you think of it initially can become a burgeoning opportunity one way or another and be something completely different than what you thought, because all these things evolve through time. And if you start with a pretty good inventory of who you are and what's important to you, those things begin to play out, suddenly you're not trying to gain energy, you're giving it.
Sure. In fact, you're unleashing it in some regard. And once that boulder starts rolling up the hill, you know, it's not like you've got to be on the other side to catch it.
Right. Absolutely correct. And people see that. People see it across the table from you. They see the energy you have. They want to be around you. They want you to be a part of the team. And they may not think of the weaknesses you have as being as deep as you may think they actually are.
That's very true.
And a lot of that is being able to take those experiences that you have and those strengths and being able to both position them and create a perception about yourself that folks embrace and want to be a part of.
But Warden, your background also now isn't just perhaps it's the nature of banking, but I'm gathering it's the nature of you, that this allowed you a venue to really touch out into both nonprofits and for-profits, as well as a whole variety of industries.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I would say that the fundamental base of understanding that I got from that particular career was all exactly along those lines, Ara, that it was, I have touched a variety of different industries, I've worked with different people in a lot of different industries, and I was a key supplier to a lot of those people in the industry, a key source of capital for many of them. And those conversations, I came through a day and age when bankers were still considered advisors, and key advisors instead of simply somebody that could reach in their pocket and provide a buck for someone to do things. And that meant the opportunity for me to gain an awful lot of knowledge about how different businesses work, how different people approach what they do, whether in a family or professional, more professional or publicly held businesses, what's important in nonprofits at a both a very high level, a C-level, and what I call a day-to-day level.
And I think what we're saying and the reason we're having this conversation with our listeners is not that this is the only path to go,
no,
but you're talking about something that really resonated with your upbringing, with those dinnertime conversations as a child, as well as fundamentally where you were wired.
Right.
And so that for people to really step back and say, you know, what's the kind of thing that gets me excited? And it may indeed instead be a very one industry specific or one type of function specific, but we do have other pointers in our life that show which place on the piano we should be playing, I'll call it.
Right. I will agree with that. And, you know, this happened to be my path, and it takes a way to, you know, you have to step back and sometimes look at things from a different perspective than what you've been doing for a number of years.
That's right.
You know, you get entwined in a particular culture or particular responsibility, and you have a tendency to get myopic about what you are looking at, and it's healthy to step back and see it from a different point of view and begin to then appreciate how you might be able to use that differently.
And sometimes that stepping back isn't necessarily something that you choose to do, but circumstances may force you to, right?
Which is what a lot of
people are feeling today.
Absolutely. You know, the funny thing about me and what I decided to do is that I tell this story to a lot of folks that when I was walking up at 22 years old to get my diploma, I actually had the exact number of years, months, days, and hours until I turned 55, and I would have a chance to go teach and consult.
What do you know? And that's exactly what you're doing right now.
That is exactly what I'm doing right now. I had an opportunity, though, 7 years earlier than that, where my organization I was working for actually, you know, paid me for 2 years to go and do it.
So, don't you love it?
Perfect. And in my position, I had never taught before, even though I wanted to do it. I had never taught before, but I had worked on a board of a local nonprofit, a Montessori school, and one of the other board members happened to be an interim provost at one of the universities in town. And when I knew I was going to transition out, I made a phone call, and I had my first adjunct teaching position in about 20 minutes.
And in fact, your very story is very consistent, of course, with what we talk about here, is that many times our reaching out and being part of helping others, whether it be a nonprofit board, as you did with your Montessori school, or others, that leads to so many other new doors that open.
Absolutely correct. And that's the part where we're recognizing that someone has skill sets that might be able to bring, they might be able to bring to the table in a variety of different circumstances, helps make that transition.
And
certainly as an adjunct, you know, I considered it my learning experience. I was going back to, you know, undergraduate or a training program to learn how to do what I wanted to do.
Exactly. Or as we say on the show, of course, you were circling, and many graduate meant you were probably refitting some of the experience you already had, but
right,
putting in a different place.
Right. And, well, and, you know, after 25 or 30 years, you have an awful lot of experiences you can use as examples when you're teaching someone. And the bigger issue, one of the things that really helps that is that I had gone through a process in developing my resume where I had to develop a lot of details around what I'd done so that I could adequately write that resume. And what I come to find out is that by going through that process and really trying to dig deeper and deeper into everything that I did, that also created a number of great examples for me to use in a teaching environment.
Exactly. Outstanding. Well, Ward Hill, thank you very much for joining us here now on behalf of Career Advisor Services. We'll look forward to another standing segment with you next week. And thanks again for joining us.
You're very welcome, Zara. Thank you. And have a great Labor Day weekend.
Will do. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
You don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there. In today's environment, career choices require thoughtful planning and precise execution. Career Advisor Services was designed by leading retained search professionals. Backed by nationwide market research, they provide a customized, tactical approach for executive career transition. Visit CareerAdvisorServices.com or call 800-710-7761. Career Advisor Services, understanding executive needs for precise execution. 800-710-7761.